We love hip hop.
Just cutting in the studio.
That's it, man. It's the 1-2, you know?
And you were saying that you got the home studio going on and shit now.
Yeah. I got a basement studio. So, you know, just it's rough, right? But as I go along, I'm going to put the booth and set it all up. And it's just for rough drafts. It's just so I can get the thoughts out when I'm fresh.
And we got kind of a little bit of a rolling start going on over here. But let me ask you, right? You know, early in things. Sorry, that's my sound effects.
That's all good.
We love hip hop.
Let me ask you, as a father now, right, and as a family man, right? When you get it's time for recording, right? How did that happen? It's like, you know, the inspiration hits you. You're at the table one sometimes eating dinner, and it's like, you know what? Later on, I gotta record. Like, how do you separate from the fam to go and like get into the man cave and go get your recording on?
It's hard, yo. It's hard, but I still make it happen because my fam is my most important priority. Like, I don't care about nothing else. It's all about my wife and chicken. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like that comes first. But when I get hot, they know. Like I just move different. I gotta, like, go downstairs.
What's happening
and get
with
it
you
out
at the table? Did they see a look in your eye? Like
they must see something. They must see something. Get antsy or something. But when I gotta get some bars out, they know.
Yeah.
Sometimes chicken comes downstairs and tries to jump in the mix, put on my headphones, all that stuff. But I'm still able to get it done. But a lot of times I record at night, like late night. So once everybody's gone to bed and stuff, I can get it in and get it done properly. You know.
Cutting heads off on the mic and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That's it, G. Like, that's what it is, man. I got to make it happen. You know?
And, you know, before we even start, and if you can get a little bit closer, you can pull the mic a bit closer. There.
Yeah. Or I can pull my seat up a little bit. Yeah. All right.
I want to thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
For back in the days when I was inside,
mm-hmm.
One, for being one of the only people that came through to visit.
Yeah, of course.
Salute to you for that. Thank you. But also helping me put out the Connect Volume 5 while I was in jail, the mixtape.
Yeah, for sure. That's up. That was a priority. You got to make it happen, man. Like, bro. Yo, shit. You always know I was always repping for the men that were locked up when I did SARS, you know?
Yeah. Hold on. I got to put an air horn on that one right there.
Yeah, facts. I always got to rep for the men, them that are locked up. You know, if you don't, then they don't have a voice. So you got to give them that voice, you know?
Yeah. Listen, man, let's start this off.
All right.
Okay. I'm really excited to do this because it's one thing to do a bunch of interviews and stuff like that, but like I'm getting a chance to sit here and chop it up with a friend.
My homie.
You know what I'm saying?
Pop star, you already know.
So let's get it started.
If they only knew.
Yo,
if
fam.
They only knew, you know, but let's just allow that, you know, just keep a focus on this. You know?
Bro, I got so much questions. Let's get it popping.
All right, let's do it.
It's about to go down.
Yeah.
We got a legend in the building.
Check.
We love hip hop.
I shut it down. There's a new sheriff up in town.
Jeez.
I'll crush a clown. Heavyweight, so don't fuck around. I pose a threat, soaking wet. You 100.
It's about to go down.
A small meal for my dogs that be puppy chow. You looking for a problem? This is what you found, and you in trouble now. You touch my crown, that ain't what's allowed. Do you something foul? I'll explode, leave a mushroom. I got you marked, you don't wanna start. Pull your arms apart and put that shit in my shopping.
Uh-huh.
My heart is dark, close to black. I ain't holding back, they quarantined off the last place I recorded at.
Yes. Hold on. A rarity that I do more than one song in an intro, but I gotta do it.
Let's do it.
I gotta do it.
What? This is like my most popular song. Like, everybody loves this song. Got the most views. It is what it is.
Yo, good weed is all I need.
SARS!
Niggas, I get YYZ.
It's about to go down.
Bring baked and deep fried. Nigga, just read my lips. I get YYZ.
Uh-huh.
Smoke till I choke. I need my
world's most smoked out in the building.
Get a nigga YYZ.
SARS!
Fuck all the sticks and seeds. I rep my green pride. Cause G, I be YYZ.
Ha!
Puff that magic like the dragon. Weed's what I need, it's not a one. I ain't bragging. Face playing inside that bag of weed, just like that fucking TV show. I'll be glad with glee. Imagine me not a stone bone billa on the rilla. I'd probably be a stone cold killer.
Holy jeez.
Oh man.
Big tune that.
Big tune.
I'm actually on detox, so you know what I mean? Just loud that tune right now. You know what I mean? I'm trying to stay focused on the rhymes and focus on the business aspect of this, and I don't want to be smoked out. You know what I mean? I want to smoke up the mic instead, you know?
Don't worry, I'll do the smoking for both of us.
No doubt. I'll be back though. I am quit forever. I'll be back. I give myself 6 months and then I'll be back, you know?
Light break.
You know what I'm saying? Just to make my mind condition, you know?
So we back at it. It's your boy Friday, Ricky Dredd, here with another interview for your head top. Before we get into it, let me give a quick salute to the sponsors.
Yep.
Big salute to the sponsors, Diamond Club. That's the sign you see behind me right here. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Diamond Club_Canada. Also, you can find them on the 7 Days of Weed website. Use the code We Love Hip Hop and get yourself a little discount on some of that loud scene. Also, if you need some blem, hit up Steaming Hot Grabba. Okay. They got some grabba on the table over here. They got grabba shakers, all types of good stuff. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steaming Hot Grabba. Use the code We Love Hip Hop and you get yourself a little discount. Scene. One more thing. Big salute to Candy Farms. Okay. Candy Farms TO is their Instagram page. They gave me a nice little care package. I'm smoking some Def Pink OG, or I'm about to. Okay, hit them up on their Instagram page. Once again, Candy Farms TO, and that's Farms with a Z, and let them know that We Love Hip Hop Boys sent you over. But like I said in the beginning of this interview, I'm really happy to get this popping today because this gentleman right here, we've gone through a lot of things together before a podcast was even thought of, bro.
Way before that.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, from being somebody who's put his flag in this Toronto hip hop scene from time with mixtapes that have collaborated people from all ends of the city and south of the border. Okay. From being part of a legendary crew, which spawned producer of the biggest rapper in the world, Drizzy Drake. Okay. As well as keeping the hip hop faith strong when it comes to real lyricism and just real hip hop. We have the return of Trey, a.k.a. the Rhyme Animal in the building. Jeez.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Welcome back. And thank you're you. We Love Hip Hop alumni. For a lot of people who don't know, I think you were like episode 10.
Yeah, it was mad early. I was just supporting the thing at the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I jumped in and made sure, you know, you had some content, you know.
I don't even think that we have the video's not even available that
I know, because right, that was on the channel that got squashed or whatever.
Yeah. To be honest, like, our production was trash back
then. that's all good, you know. Like I said, that was just on one, I was just to make sure you got your feet off the ground, you know.
Yeah. So I'm happy to have you back over here, you know, years later, now that like we've got to this point here, and I feel like I got better at interviewing.
Yeah, for sure. So, you got your niche now, you know?
Yeah, I want to be able to really chop it up with you today. Now, you got some new stuff that's out, okay? Tell me about the new releases. I've been watching you on the Grammy. I see you working towards like a full project.
Yeah, I got a lot of projects on the way. I'm not going to really break them all down because I want to keep it a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I come, I come, and that's it. You know what I mean? I'm going to hit you when I hit you, you know? But I have a lot of songs I'm sitting on, a lot of work that I'm putting in, and I'm not going to stop working until I crack this code. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I'm just really just trying to stay focused. Being taken serious as an artist is all I really want from anybody. And that's it. You know, like I'm focused on what I'm doing and I want to make it happen.
Yeah.
But I have no expectations or any kind of, you know what I mean, things that I want from it other than, you know, just being heard, you know,
like you were on a hiatus for a while because I would say 2018, you kind of stopped releasing as much as you were before.
Yeah. 2018, I did an album with my rap partner Aesthetic, Noise Up. It's out on all platforms. Make sure you check that out.
Yeah.
We dropped that. That was all right. We did good numbers. It's a real hip hop album. You know what I mean? And we took it to where it needed to go, did videos, all that and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the game was different at that time. You know what I mean? It wasn't really more for underground hip hop. It was more for the, you know, for the younger generation coming up.
Yeah, that was like the end of the SoundCloud era, or like I guess in the peak of the SoundCloud era for real.
Yeah, I guess around
SoundCloud
that time.
Rapper era. Yeah,
around that time. Yeah. You know, things are changing, right? Mm. That's all I really knew, and it wasn't really discouraging. I just didn't know what direction to go. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I tried to do a solo album 2020. Right, Great Minds Think Alike, and that's when the pandemic hit. Mm. Right, so it just kind of got to the point like, what do I do now? You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I had a baby, and I just wanted just to focus on that for a little while. But mm-hmm. something bit me at the end of 2022.
Yeah,
where I just got this battery in my back to go, and I just worked on tracks all year, got myself together, and found my little formula, and now I'm running with it.
You're off and running.
I'm off to the races with it. You know?
So tell me now, like, being back, releasing music, you know, being back on the gram more often, posting and stuff like that. Like, what do you feel now in this climate of scene here in 2023, 2024?
Well, I got to honestly say, posting and all that stuff is not comfortable for me. I don't like to really do that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get over that. Because, you know, you need to make sure that you show people who you are if you want to be noticed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's time consuming, and it's something that I don't really like to do, but I'm realizing it's the best thing for what I am doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to take it day by day, you know, doing little videos here and there and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm more interested in just promoting my music. But yeah, posting is something that I got to get better at.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And take it more serious.
Start going live on Instagram and shit.
That.
Have you gone live yet, bro?
I've never done a live in my life.
Really, eh?
No, I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, nobody, I don't know. It's not like people wouldn't check in. I'm sure people would tap in, but like,
a lot of people would tap in, bro.
Yeah, I find that that lives are more for... You know, I don't know. I don't want to label nobody or whatever they're doing for what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's just for the message that I spread, it sounds better on music for me than it mm-hmm. does on a live, you know, stream on my phone. But maybe there should be a day where I have to go live, but I'm waiting for the importance to build up and, mm-hmm. you know, the fan base to build up so I can actually talk to the people I need to speak to instead of like hoping people are listening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all a matter of time, really. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Now that I have you here for like a full interview, I want to go back into the Trader Rhyme animal history.
Yeah.
And then we'll take us full circle to where we are now.
All right.
So, okay. Grew up here in Toronto, Saga specifically.
Yeah. I was born in Toronto, Etobicoke, grew up till I was in my teens, and then I moved to Mississauga.
Okay. Now, mom and pops, brother and sister, all right?
Yep.
When you guys moved there, were all of you, you're the youngest out of everybody.
Yeah, I'm the youngest out of my
family. So all of you guys moved to Saga.
Yeah.
What was that like when you guys first got there?
Well, there's nothing in Saga at the time. So yeah. it was like a lot of, you're surrounded by a lot of bush and farm, and, you know, it was just like pretty much just square one, and that was it, you know?
But
it built up over time, and it was the best thing for my parents at the time because, you know, they got themselves a house and the house increased in value and stuff like that. It was just the right move for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was just tagging along, obviously. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was good for them. So, you know, went to school out there and did my thing, and, you know, but I was still downtown all the time.
Regardless,
but, you know, it's just where we rested our head, you know?
Mm-hmm. In school, like, cause you're, you know, pause, you're a taller nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Were you into sports and stuff like that when you're in school? Or were you always into just hip hop?
I more play with a ballpoint pen than a basketball, mm-hmm. but I played basketball, I played baseball, you know, I did all those things, you know, like regular kid shit, you know, I did taekwondo, all that shit, you know?
But
rap was just my main thing. I just loved the rap. My brother inspired me to rap. He's my mentor. So
he's a DJ too.
Yeah, he's a DJ, right?
Yeah.
And so he does his thing, and I always wanted to, like, you know, jump on his mixtapes and impress him by what I did. So that's where it all started. He actually named me the Rhyme Animal. I burst in his room one day and I started spitting some raps, and then he called me the Rhyme Animal, and I've kept it ever since.
Oh. You
know what I'm saying? So he actually named me and put me in on the conditioning that I am today, you know?
That's crazy.
He reviews all my joints. He makes sure that he makes the orders for all my albums. Like, he's very involved in what I do.
I did not know that, bro.
Yeah, he does. He does. Everything that I do, he hears.
Yo, and he's there playing records from time, okay? Right? And big up your brother and his DJ crew and stuff.
DJ like Lovely, you already know, brother. Lovely, I also work out with him every other day.
Hustle and Muscle.
Hustle and Muscle. That's my workout partner. We get it in. Mm-hmm. Consistency Cartel.
Mm-hmm.
You already know.
Yeah. So him and the boys are running tunes. They're playing out in places and stuff. What was the first tune that you heard that started prompting the rhyme animal bug in your brain to like want to start even impressing him?
Holy, that's a good question still.
Because there's always that one that you first hear and you're like, what the hell is that, bro?
Yeah, I can't even recall what the first tune would actually be because I've heard so much music out of his basement that made me do it. I would say it's a collective of everything that he does on the tapes that made me more excited to do it than just one song.
Mm.
It's more being a feature on the tape.
Yeah, yeah,
beside
yeah.
All the music that I thought was dope made me more interested to be on the tape than, you know, just one song itself, you know?
You just brought up an interesting point because you wanted to be on your bro's tapes. Mm-hmm. Did he have other local artists on his tapes?
Not really. Like sometimes he would get one, two people, but you know, it's more he was just focusing on getting the new music out. Like Goodfellas was his crew at the time, and mm-hmm. you know, then he did his own thing. You know what I mean? And like he always had the music in rotation. People were checking for his tapes, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then he went to CDs. People were checking for his CDs. So if I was on it, I knew it was going to be heard, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I just wanted to just be a part of it. Anything he's doing, I just wanted to be a part of, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and not be corny, you know? I wanted it to actually match with the content that he was putting out.
So with that being said, what made you start, like, when did you start your own journey then? Like, you know, all right, I'm not on the tapes. But I want to start being a rapper.
I would say about 98, 99 is when I said, I want to start doing this. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like early, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, I want to do this, but I didn't know how to do it, what to do, where to go. Mm. I had no idea. I didn't even have a producer. I didn't know what was happening. And then by accident, kinda, I just met Pill because I was in a group home and I ran from the group home, right?
So you're coming downtown at these times?
I was actually locked up in a group home, right? And doing like, you know, youth group homes where, mm-hmm, you know, you serve your little bit of time in a group home, whatever. I was in one of those things from, you know, some stupid crimes that I did when I was a youngin.
Yeah.
And one day I got hunted and I was like, I'm leaving this shit. So I left. And then on the other side of the street was Pill. He lived over there and he, you know, I ran to his house. He let me crash there for a little bit. And he had like a whole setup of, you know, he had like, I can't remember. He had an ASR and he had some equipment to do what we needed to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
I brought some records from my pops and we started banging out some tunes. And then from there, he was like my first producer who really took me to where I needed to go. And you know, it just started happening from there. But that's when I took my first stance, is when I pretty much met him. And then I had tracks that I could actually listen to that were done by me and sit down and listen and say, yeah, this is what I want to sound like, you know?
So did you have enough tracks to actually put together like a mixtape or anything at that point, or just a few loose tunes?
Yeah, there were loose tunes, but pretty much enough that I could have put a mixtape. But, you know, I didn't have the confidence, I didn't think,
mm-hmm,
ready yet to do my own stuff, you know?
Yeah,
I was just more focusing on building my own rap career, you know what I mean?
And in the background, like during those times, like 98, 90, even like 97, like when you started like, you know, going around downtown, popping up, like what was going on in your life? Like we're years past the stats, so yeah, we could talk about certain things. Like what was going on in the background in your life while like you're becoming the rhyme animal, like while you're putting together the these rhymes, bro.
We love hip hop.
Thanks to the sponsors, Diamond Club, with delivery all over the GTA and now all across Canada. They got the best selection of flower, edibles, and pens and all types of goodies that you need. You can find them on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada, or you can find them on the 7 Days of Weed app as well as the Leafy Things app. Let them know that you heard about them through the We Love Hip Hop Network and they may give you a discount. Big salute to Diamond Club. Cheer!
Well, I was just on some fuckery when I was a young and I didn't really have a structure at that time. I was just doing a lot of bullshit and getting in trouble, fights, you know, crime, things that, you know, I shouldn't have been doing, you know, and, you know, I don't want to take it away from my life. You know what I mean? Or like, you can't, at the same time, you know, I wish I was a lot smarter, you know, at that time and knew that wasn't the right direction to go. But, you know, I gained a lot of stripes from it. And, you know, I mean, I did what I had to do, you know, but if I could turn back time, I wouldn't take it away, but I would curtail it a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I was on some fuckery doing some nonsense that always got me in trouble. And
like you're in a group home from like what? How old you're like at that point? 16?
I've been in like I don't know if people know like real heads know like Casada Milton and Del Wood, them little group homes. If you were banging as a youngin, you know those places. You know what I'm saying? I was in all those way too long and way too much. You know what I'm saying? And I shouldn't have been in those, but I was, and it just what it was. Connected with a lot of goons and. There, a lot of them are dead now. A lot of them are gone. And I'm just lucky to be here and I never fell off the edge. You know what I'm saying?
Well, now like that we're grown, right? Like in hindsight, what do you think drew you through to the streets?
I was just outside all the time. So like really, I wasn't really drawn to it. I was just in it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like when you're outside, right? It's just going to happen. It's not like, you know, I was like asking my moms for money or nothing like that. I was outside getting money.
You know what I'm saying?
Not necessarily doing one thing or the next thing and everything. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you meet people along the way to put you on to things and you just keep going with it, you know?
So 98, 99 goes through and then like, you know, you meet Pill. Did you meet like Tech Man at that time too?
I met Tech Man, Scandalous, all those guys. At Pill's house.
Okay.
Right? Those are the first two guys that I met at an Empire.
So you met Tech Man and Scandalous, and you guys are together at Pill's house. In 2000, when the Empire group comes together, how did that happen? Like, when, you know, Atom Bomb and Toxic, and it's like, and this is before Messiah joined the group, too.
Yeah. Messiah joined later, yeah.
But that legendary 2000 meeting, like, how did that come to be?
Well, okay. So I met Tech and Scandalous with Pill, right? And then Scandalous knew Bomb. So we went to Central Tech and we met him in Skinny, right?
Salute to Skinny the Nutcracker.
Yeah, big up Skinny. And from there, Bomb told us that he knew a crazy rapper named Toxic. And like at that time, Toxic was the best out of all of us. We were like, call him the weapon for a reason. You know what I mean?
He
was just dangerous. He still is to this day.
Facts.
You know what I mean? But so we all met through joinings of other people, you know? So it was just like a chain connection. And then we all came together. We realized that we had the same mutual skills and we just all developed them by freestyling, going around places. We used to go down to the CNE and battle people. And you know what I mean? Like we used to do a lot of things, you know, just try and test their skills, sharpen them up. People would see us everywhere. They knew when we were coming. They knew what it was about and they knew what we were about. And that was all we really wanted, you know?
And you guys are recording. You started with Pill. When does, at the time we were calling him Bibber.
Yeah, Bibber.
But now people call him 40.
Yeah.
Right? When does 40 come into the fold?
Well, 40 came into the play around early, I believe early 2000, right? And we did a couple of sessions with him and then, he had a nice little setup in his parents' house. So we used to go there and do what we needed to do, whatever, you know. And then, you know, he started really working with us and started really tapping in with us. And he's the best person on Pro Tools ever I've ever met in my life.
Whole facts.
And he just made it easier for us to take what we did to the next level. Like, we didn't have to think about nothing. Before you did your first verse, it's already mixed. Mm. Then you do the hook. By the time your second verse is done, the song is finished. You know what I'm saying? Like, ready to go on the market, you know?
Hold on. Back then?
Back then.
Wow.
He just had this professional sound that, you know, it just could not be matched, mm-hmm. right? And he just made it easy for us to work with him. And I appreciate him to this day for that. You know, he's like one of the best people to ever work with. And, you know, Drake, that's why Drake is the success he is, because he's got the best producer behind him to make him do what he needs to do. And he knows that. We all know that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, I love Bibber. He's like my heart. You know what I mean? That's one of like the closest people to me in this music shit. You know, mm-hmm. I don't see him as much because he's always across the world, but we'll tap in soon and we'll get what we need to get done. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he came in around 2000, early 2000. And then we started really doing the empire from there. Before, when it was just Pill, we were run amok rappers.
Okay. Right? So you weren't Empire yet.
It was under the Empire title, right? But we were considered run amok rappers because that's basically what we did. Run amok when we went places. We were, you know what I mean? We really wanted to live up to that name.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it slowly integrated into being Empire after.
Okay.
Know?
Okay.
Because Adam Bomb was the man behind that, you know?
Okay. Yo, fam, you got to understand, to me and to a lot of people, because I bump into people on road, and they'll be like, yo, Salute, I love the podcast. Mm. Been following you since Empire times.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, whoa, okay, that's a real one. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not to say that any of the other supporters are not real ones, but when somebody tells me something like that, I'm like, you're ahead.
Yeah, you're tapped in.
Yeah. So there's a percentage of people who they want to know how this came to be, because that was a legendary crew. And then the SARS mixtape movement was a legendary movement.
Yeah.
But it started with the crew first. And then what inspired you to start putting the mixtapes together?
Well, we did the album, The Table of Nonsense, mm-hmm. right? And we were bumping it on the street, you know, or selling enough of them. And we were selling it with other mixtapes too as well. The Who Kids, the Big Mics, you know, like all of those. I was known for selling mixtapes, you know, downtown on Elm across from HMV. Anybody mm-hmm. that knows me knows I was out there doing that, you know, and I was selling my own shit as well. And I just realized I was selling so many people's mixtapes. Why wouldn't I sell my own?
Sell your own,
right? Why wouldn't I promote our own talent out here? Like, it only made sense. There's so many rappers in the city that just don't have a voice or a collective to be on. Right. Cause everybody's on their own thing. So I was like, I tried my hardest to bring it together, which was not easy. Right. It was very difficult, but over time it got easier once people realized what I was on and what I was trying to do and the level of standard that I wanted to keep it at. But that happened around 2003 when we did SARS, around the SARS epidemic or pandemic or whatever it was. When that came to the city, wanted to flip, you know, I didn't want the city to be known as a disease, I wanted it to flip it, you know, a negative thing to a positive thing by saying it's sick artists running shit instead of severe acute respiratory syndrome.
And we were were we ground zero for SARS? Like Toronto?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that like one of the first cases was here. I think there was a couple of cases in China or whatever, but I think like where it really blew up was in Toronto.
Wow.
Right. And it wasn't as crazy as like a COVID, I guess, but in those times, like anything that happened was, you know what I mean? It was taken a little bit more scary, you know, it was looked at differently because
it's first time shit too.
Yeah. You know, first time shit. You know, so it took its toll on the city for a hot minute, you know? Mm-hmm. People were scared and wearing the mask. It was just like COVID, to tell you the honest truth.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But, you know, luckily we were able to get out of that, and I took the first opportunity to flip it because I didn't want people to think we were known for some dirty disease, you know? So that's why I did SARS. Put it with sick rappers, tried to put them on, and it didn't. If the first CD blew up, we sold a lot. Lots, like a lot.
What do you think helped it blow up? Like, just being on the street, or because remember Project Bounce was trying to pop off at them times too.
Project Bounce was running. So I think it was Project Bounce which really, you know, took it to the levels because people knew the names that were on the tapes, right? So that kind of helped too as well. And people wanted to see what the Canadian market was about too as well, you know? So, but it didn't matter. I put it in their hands and sell it. Same way. You know what it was. Yeah. You came with your CD too at them times. Yeah. The Kinetic Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
And you dropped a whole bunch on me. I remember. Yeah. That's the first day I met you. When you pulled up in the Jimmy. I remember
the
that.
The 2001 Jimmy I had.
Yeah, I remember that. And you dropped a whole bunch on me. And I started bumping them out there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, like, that's just a... It's just a thing that I knew would happen if I was just pumping it on the street and making it happen. I knew eventually it would evolve to what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, just put it in people's hands and sell it. Put it in people's hands and sell it. You know?
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
redundancy. Yeah. Straight, you know? And, chopping them.
And you made multiple trips across Canada, not just Toronto. Like, you were like... You went from here to Vancouver multiple times and the East Coast.
Coast to coast, three times. I've gone across Canada all over the place multiple times, but I've literally gone coast to coast from like Newfoundland to not even Vancouver, Vancouver Island. You know, so I've gone from island to island, not even coast to coast.
Crazy.
You know, like three times in a row, you know? So that was good. I loved it. I went across Canada. The craziest thing is I went across Canada and I did not have one problem with anybody. Nobody tried to fight me. Nobody tried to hurt me as I'm harassing people to buy my CD. I did it unscathed. You know what I mean? Which is crazy. You know what I mean? Nobody hurt me. Nobody drama'd me. Nobody tried to hurt me in any which way. They just accepted it, what I was doing. Made a lot of money, sold a lot of CDs. Like the SAR CDs alone sold like over 100,000 copies.
Crazy.
Easily. You know, like I paid my rent with that shit. Like it was like my income. You know what I mean? Like,
think about the fact that people try to get 100,000 streams now. You sold 100,000 hard copy CDs.
Yeah, man.
More than that.
Way more than that. That's a rough estimate. Yeah. You know, and that's just my CDs, not other people's CDs, not all the mixtapes I sold. Now all the DVDs I sold, like we sold the Real Toronto DVDs too as well. Like we sold a lot of shit on that corner. You know what I mean? And not just CDs as well. People may think that, but it's not just CDs. We did a lot of things on that corner, you know? And it was,
if you know, you know.
If you know, you know, you know? But, you know, it was well plus 100,000 CDs. You know what I mean? And you know, break it down. That's $1 million. You know what I mean? $10 a pop.
Yeah.
Like, that's $1 million. As crazy as it sounds, but yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
I wouldn't even think of it till I actually sat down and broke it down the other day. That's a milli.
Yeah. And them times too, because this is like we're going over 10 years ago now, right?
Yeah. Sure. You know, not in a long space of time, of course. Imagine if it was all in a year, then I'd be rich. But
Over time.
You know, it's 9 series, you know? So, yeah. But yeah, it did what it did. Pop, still known to this day. I seen man posting SARS 2 just the other day. You know what I mean? Yeah. People still have them. You know, it's still a legacy.
Stickers somewhere in some places too.
I still see stickers too. I know.
I'm gonna revamp
the stickers. I'm bringing those back out. You know, trust
me. No, that was a legendary movement. And even with getting rappers together on, like, just to stay on there for a minute, right? Getting rappers together to be on there, right? Did you already know rappers? Because remember, we didn't have social media to just DM people.
Yeah.
Right? So how did you get in contact with that many people, fam? Like, you had people from all ends of the city, bro.
Well, it was a chain effect, you know? Like, you meet one person and you meet the next person and they want to put on their bro or whatever. It was all email, you know? So, you know, like, people would hit me up on my email and, you know, send their joints. Some would never make it no matter what. Others would make it, you know, off of the strength of the rhyme, you know, that's what we geared it off of, you know, and if you had talent to, you know, match with our talent, then we'd add you on, you know, and, you know, it we tried to make the tape as long as it could, you know, like 20 plus tracks, you know, but yeah, if you had the skills to break ground, we put you on. Not to say that I was a person that was going to dictate that. No. Oh, yeah. Your talent is this. It's just what I expected. You know what I mean?
Low key, you're you were the curator, bro.
I guess so. You know,
you just got to make the Trey Rhyme Animal cut, bro. You got to make the Rhyme Animal cut.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, it was the standard that I had. And yeah, if you made it, then you'd get put on. A lot of people were thankful for it, you know, and I just wanted just to help the city. I just wanted to put people on. I still do, you know, I still do. Some people, they're hesitant or whatever, but that's what I do. If I could be A&R, I would. But, you know, I just take it step by step for what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Bro, imagine like a SARS mix series now with all these new rappers.
I'm going to do it still. I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring it back. But I just don't know how I'm going to attack it yet. But I'm going to bring it back again, you know, and start really like hollering at people. But I'm going to start with our era and integrate it with the new era. But you have to have bars. If you don't have bars, then it's not happening. You know what I mean?
And one thing that we didn't have back then, or we had, but it wasn't as much of an issue, or maybe you can maybe expound on this, is polys. Because imagine you're getting people from all ends on the same mixtape.
Yeah.
Okay. So nobody ever had an issue being on the same mixtape as another person.
Oh yeah. There was polys back then, but it wasn't
as, we didn't have the gram to see it.
Yeah. It wasn't as popular. If you were in the street, you knew there was polys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's certain men that didn't like each other, certain people that didn't mix no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you couldn't do anything about it. It's just the way it was. But you know, like off of the strength of the rhyme, it was different. You know what I mean? It wasn't as detrimental as it is now. You know, now it's like, it's kind of out of control now, to tell you the honest truth. But you know, it is what it is, right? Like, I'm never gonna knock a man to say what you're doing is wrong or whatever. You know, it's what you're doing is what you're doing. But you know, like when you're out there and you're doing things and it starts to affect your direction of your life and your talents, then you know you're going too far with what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going way too far out of your spectrum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you have to understand that there's more than that little, you know, 30 seconds that you get to your life with the polys. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to avoid politics at all costs, because once your name starts spreading around negatively, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to fend that for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you really want to do that, or do you want to be successful with your talents? Really? You know, to each their own, but that's me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to mix myself in some stupid polys when I know that I can push myself forward without it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and everybody should take that advice. You know, like, it's not worth it at the end of the day. People talking about you negatively is never a good thing. You know what I mean? It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I hope the youngins could understand that, you know, that little cloud chasing thing that you do for, you know, your name to be mentioned negatively is a small spectrum of this shit. Even though it gets you hype really quick, puts you on fast, it's so small compared to what you're like. You'll regret it later in life. You'll have to change your direction, and those polys will just get in your way. They will, no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be in that. Trust me when I tell you.
Yeah,
you know,
doors will close on you and all types of shit.
People will die. And it's all over talk, all over nonsense. You know, I've seen polys go from the worst of the worst way before this. So trust me, just think twice about what you're doing and stay out the polys, guys. Because trust me, it doesn't work for you. You know what I'm saying? No, it doesn't work for anybody.
Yeah. No, that's facts, King. It's crazy because, like, I never really took it in that, like, those mixtapes back in the days were really putting together a lot of people that sometimes might not even like each other. And it never hit me until like right now, right here in real time, that like,
yeah,
the politics that were happening there were circumvented because they're like, yo, I want to get on somewhere where I can get my music out there.
Well, there was a little bit more of a unity at the time with the artists in the city as compared to now too, as well. Everybody knew who was good and who wasn't.
Yeah.
Who did shit and who didn't, right? Because it was the streets. Like, you had to know without the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a whole different time. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Like, we even had jailmans on there on the jail phone rapping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I made sure that I got men's that were locked up to be heard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know, you know. You can go on my Bandcamp and listen to it for yourself. Like, there's real live jail spitters, you know what I mean? On the jail phone, like, you got 20 minutes left or 1 minute left, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bomb, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just go and go ham on it, you know?
Yeah.
And that little 20 minute call, they yam some food, we record it. I was even on SARS 3. I got bind up in an unfortunate circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I even had to host my mixtape from the jail for
him. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole mixtape is hosted from me in the jail. I was in Don. And the Don jail's gone now.
Gladiator school.
But yeah, I hosted the whole thing on the jail phone, orchestrated it. My brethren, the arithmetic at the time, he got the little device that connected to the phone. So every time I called him, he would set it up and make sure he gets my voice recorded so I can introduce all the artists and so on and so forth. And yeah, we made it happen. It was dope. That's one of the biggest things that I did that I take pride in, that, you know, that wasn't easy. And I got to also, you know, capture a time in my life, you know, where, you know, I was in an unfortunate circumstance and still made it a positive thing, you know.
And that, to me, is one of the best SARS out of the series too.
Yeah. SARS 2, SARS 3. Those were the ones that really moved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They really moved because they were real. You know, they were really real.
Yeah. And with the crew now, right? You guys are out there. You got the SARS mixtape movement going on. Empire as a crew is there gaining a reputation for being serious spitters and, you know, kind of a reputation for tearing up places and stuff too. Yeah,
we were just wild.
Right? How did, from 5, did it go to 6 with Messiah?
Okay, well, I brought in Messiah, you know, like, I just said, like, yeah, he'd be a good additive to it. He came around, you know, and yeah, he was, you know, we just started making it happen from there. And you know, like, the Empire was, we were always trying to be, you know, like, a conglomerate, like, big, big, you know what I mean? Like, if we could add somebody that would aid us, then for sure, it wasn't a thing, you know what I'm saying? But he brought an aspect that none of us had, so when he came, you know, he took it to another level, right? So when he came, we featured him, so on and so forth. And yeah, he was ready to go from we got him, you know, and he just did the tape up and slapped it out. I believe he was SARS 7. Yeah. He's SARS 7. Yeah. And yeah, we just took it in from there. But yeah, it's more building it up and making it a conglomerate was where we were at the time. So that's why we were trying to open it up as much as we could, you know.
But before SARS 7, Messiah was already around and you guys are a 6-man crew and people were demanding an album. So that's when Mandem started getting together and doing the Get It album.
Yeah,
that's when I popped up and started getting into the back end of stuff, doing the management and all that other shit.
Yeah, you came around the same time as him.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, you came around the same time as him. But I was already cutting tracks with Messiah way before that, you know?
Okay.
I mean? But like, we started doing really good tracks and then people saw the chemistry and it was like, yeah, of course. You know what I mean? It was like one of those, you know what I mean? And then you came through too as well and put us in the right direction to get us where we needed to be at. You know what I'm saying?
And then that's when we started really like locking in to get the Get It album, which still people consider to this day a classic.
Oh, for sure. Get It. Actually, we got to get that back up on Apple Music. Yeah, we got to get it back up. People always ask me, where can I get it? And it's on Bandcamp, but we got to get it up on.
I've been neglecting the TuneCore for a second, so I got to go fix all that shit up. But
no worries, no worries.
Making that album, okay? How long did that take, bro?
That took a while still. We were really nitpicking and making sure everything was perfect, you know? 40 was there with us doing it too.
Remember, we pretty much recorded the bulk of it from studio to studio.
Yeah, remember we were in the carpet factory or whatever?
Yeah.
I think that's where we did most of it, right? And he held us down. He held us down during that whole process. Yeah, that was a great time though. I was really sharp with my skills at that time, and I enjoyed that time. You know, we really took it to where we needed to go.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. During that time, this is also when we met Drake.
Yeah. That's around the same time. Yeah.
When he started popping up at the different shows and different things.
His come up was around that time, yeah.
Yeah. Fam, like, that. When I really think back, bro, because that album has so many legendary producers. Mm-hmm. Tone Masons is on there. Mm-hmm. Rich Kid. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, there's people are missing.
We put in work on that album. Lots of work on that album.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're out there. We're doing our thing. We're getting our shows because we're doing shows now. We're opening Mad.
Yeah, enough shows. We had enough shows at that time.
Yeah.
We were opening for a good amount of people. Pretty much anybody that came, we'd have a slot, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So the people, obviously, I know already, but like, why do you feel that we stopped?
Big Sleuth is Steven Hot Grabba with a variety of different grabba flavors and dispensers. They got red rose grabba, that red herring grabba, and peanut butter. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steven Hot Grabba, and use the code WeLoveHipHop and receive a discount on your order. Again, you can find them on Instagram, Steven Hot Grabba. Now let's get back to the show. Cheer.
I would say clash of interests is what kind of put us at a standstill. I can't really speak for everybody because I didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I can't speak for everybody. I still kept it going. I still kept cutting. I still kept meeting new artists and, you know, keeping my thing going. I still kept SARS alive. But I think a clash of interest is what really put a stop to it. And you know, it's unfortunate because if the egos didn't take play, then the clash of interest wouldn't be as severe. But, you know, like when you're dealing with rappers, there's going to be egos, there's going to be problems that, you know, you're going to run into, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, it was just something that couldn't be fixed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I still speak with majority of everybody same way. Mm-hmm. I'm necessarily not the problem, so to say, or the problem that occurred. So like, I don't really want to speak on all that, but it's just more for the fact of a clash of interests can really stop the momentum of something. And it's unfortunate because we had all the qualities to take it where it needed to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild because during the time when like the Get It album came out, that would be 2009.
Yeah.
This is also during the time when Drizzy was starting to bubble and starting to get more radio play, different things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because when the group stopped like putting out music together, it was like we were in the same place at the same time. He was out of here, bro.
But that was meant to be because that's how you linked up with 40 and so on and so forth. It was just how it was supposed to go. You know what I mean? Like you can't call it, like, you know, the planets do what they're supposed to do and they align you the way they're supposed to align you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Some people lose and some people win out of that. And that's just the way it was supposed to go. You know?
Yeah,
big
yeah.
up to the whole Owl Camp. Make sure you guys keep running your thing. Do it. You know what I mean? That's the way it's supposed to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so that it happened like that. And I'm glad it did because, you know, look, we have the biggest star in the world from here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, busting Michael Jackson records, Beatle records, like it was supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You, like, I think it would have happened no matter what. You know what I'm saying? So it's just how the world works. You know what I mean?
Nah, man. No, salute to Drizzy, man. Like, even though there was some time that we were like a little bit not in the coolest place.
That's just competitiveness. You know what I mean? Everybody just wants to be competitive and, you know, that's just competitive. That ain't nothing. That's nothing.
We were freaking hungry back then, bro.
Yeah, of course.
Now, let me ask you, because Empire was a 6-man crew. We're in 2024 now.
Mm-hmm.
Attention span, shorter, all types of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If in a perfect world, Empire had survived the whole time, like, through the tension and all that type stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think it would still be a viable crew in 2024?
Yes. I think that if we even kept it together or even were able to start a ting, I think that people would still check for it. Would it be world renowned? On an underground level, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think like on a superstar type level, but we don't strive for that. Right. We just spit our bars and it takes us where we need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But we don't run out of bars. So there would be no problem with that. You know, it's true. Like we just, it's just that we'd be just keep spitting and building a fan base.
Yeah.
You know, so we would be a lot bigger and have a lot more people tapped in, I would think. But yeah, I think that if we could kept it together, that we'd still be able to do it. You know?
Yeah. Well, cause
like Adam Bomb is still active. I'm still active. Mm-hmm. Like we're still doing things. Like, yeah. You know, well, only us two really that I see right now. And Messiah, he's still doing things too as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hopefully, you know, like, you know, people can understand that we're from that era and we're still trying to make it happen, you know?
Yeah. It's, I just ask because like now the average song is like a minute and a half.
Yeah, I know. I know. Just one, like maybe 24 bars in a hook sometimes.
Yo, fam. You know? Like by the time next man's about to get on the verse, track done.
Track's done. We used to do like friggin' three verses. You know what I mean? And track's like 4.5, 5 minutes.
Bro,
and
we had 10 hands on a song, I think.
It was still hype, though. It was still hype. Like you'd listen to it from front to back. Like yeah. It wasn't whack. You know what I mean? It's just that the attention spans now are a lot shorter, you know what I mean? So it's hard now, you know? It's not hard, it's just different.
Yeah,
it's just different.
Yeah.
Technically, it's easier, but you have to have a good game plan to attack it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what makes it hard is the way you go about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
More than anything else, you know?
What do you like about the music scene now? And what do you don't like? Or what do you don't like? What do you dislike?
I don't dislike very many things when it comes to music. It's all hard. It's all difficult. So like, if you already dislike something, you're already putting yourself in a disadvantage, you know, like what are you going to do? Cry or, you know, get upset about it? Like it's not going to change just because you don't like it.
Yeah.
It's more for the fact that you got to lock in and really get it. And that's what I like about this time. You're free. Before you had to go to labels, you had to hope to get signed, get an A&R, this, that, so on, find you and all that bullshit. Now, all you got to do is just eat and just go in, present yourself the right way, and things will happen for you. Some people blow up overnight off of one song just because they presented it right. And that's what's good about this era. You know, so I am a fan of this era for that. It took me a minute to figure out how it works, but I'm still doing it my own way. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want longevity in it because I don't necessarily want to blow up overnight. I want to be able to give the people everything I got by the time it's launching. They know who I am.
Yeah.
What I'm about. Like I said, I don't run out of bars. I don't run out of content. I get inspired off of different things at different times and I just go in, you know? So like, I'm glad that there's a platform now for me, myself, to upload my own music at the time when I'm ready to present it to the people.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a whole different game now, you know? And I appreciate that, you know, because I feel like I'm more in control of my own destiny. You know what I'm saying?
And you could be accumulating fans in like, anywhere in Japan, wherever.
I see on my analytics now that Japan's tapping in a lot, and that's weird. You know, I would never even think that. You know,
you can't move a Stars mixtape over there in my hand.
Well, hey, you never know, man. I might just take that flight. You know what I'm saying?
But now you know that there's some people expecting, like, hey,
I'm gonna go.
I heard you.
I'm gonna go for sure and see what it's about with my own eyes. I'm that kind of guy. I need to see it for myself to know what's real.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell me all you want, but I need to go and see it. You know that.
No, I know. Yeah. But it's just so beautiful now that we could have analytics to be like, oh, I got 20% or 15% people listening to me from Japan.
Yeah.
Well, let me go see if I can get some business going on over there.
It's dope. You know what I'm saying? I really keep, more than anything, the plays, whatever. You know what I mean? I keep track my analytics to see my direction, where I can go and where I can improve what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Not really worried about the plays too much because I know my music is timeless, not to toot my own horn or whatever, but I try to make timeless music. So it doesn't matter when you hear it, you're going to hear it and then you're going to be like, oh, that's him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good with that. If you can take as much time as you want to tap in, but more or less what I'm more interested in is who and what they want from where, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when I can go and do shows, you know, I can show them what I want and what they expect and so on and so forth. That's more important to me, you know?
Yeah. No, it's like, I want to add on to that as well, because you mentioned a few times in some of the last things that you were saying about blowing up. Mm. But I feel like we're in a time now where a rapper doesn't have to blow up.
No.
The rappers who do quote unquote blow up, they might be like the Coyle Rays of the world or a Lil Durk and all that.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole bunch of other rappers that people don't know their names, maybe in a household name or whatever, but their fans know them and their fans are in the thousands and they stream in the hundreds of thousands and millions because they just develop their fan bases.
Yeah. Everybody can have their own success now.
Yes.
Right. And it's not that, you know, you're stealing fans from another person or that's one. Just people just know how to tap into your shit. If it's something that they like, the platform's open for them to tap in and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you could have your own, you know, lane, you know, and that's the best thing about this time. You know, you don't have to jump on nobody else's. It's better if you don't jump on anybody else's lane. You keep your own, no matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where, you know, people are like, oh, this is what I like, you know, and the more original and the more, you know, like, the more that it's not a cookie cutter kind of formula is the better it is for you, because then people want to see what you're about more than something they've already seen before.
Yeah. And then you find your like-minded people.
That's it. You know, you're connecting with people that, you know what you're on and what you're about.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what I love about it. So that's why it took me a minute. Like, I was intimidated of this era at first because it's a lot to jump into.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I don't care. You know, I'm not going to think about anything else but what I'm focused on, you know? And that's why I'm more just cut my own tracks and doing my own thing. I'm not really trying to collaborate too much and trying to reach out because I'm trying to find my own lane.
Mm.
And then once I build my own little lane, then I could drive with some other people in that lane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but so then I'm trying to figure this out the way I want to figure it out and control it the way I want to control it. So I can make it happen for me. You know what I'm saying? I've always been trying to help other artists, but now this time I want to do it for myself and make sure that I put myself where I want to be and I can, you know, tap into the fans that are interested in my music and what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I believe I can do it and I'm gonna, that's it. I've already signed up. I'm done. You know what I'm saying?
We're in it, man.
I'm in it. It's not can I, or I hope, I will, you know? So just look out for me because I'm coming like a freight train. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, fam, I read it. I see how you've been moving out here. You know, you look great. Like you look younger than even before. I see you on the workout stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Lifting, I don't know how many freaking plaques on a thing, plates on a thing, bro. I'm like, holy.
I'm pushing. The big of my brother, you know, I started in the pandemic, you know, and well, I was always working out before, like in the condo, in the basement, whatever, you know, like just trying to get it in, stay healthy, whatever. But it wasn't until the pandemic I actually took it serious to actually lift.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It showed me what consistency is really about and taking it further than, you know, your actual limits. You know what I mean? You want to step outside of your box. You know, all those things come from weight training, and it's the best thing I've ever added to my life. And I got to big up my brother for that, you know?
No, my salute, man.
Yeah, salute him, you know?
So. Nah, man.
But yeah, I try to stay fresh. I try to stay healthy. Yo, if you're not mentally and physically healthy, something bad's going to happen to you.
Facts.
You know what
Facts.
I'm saying? So like, even like I said, I'm on my detox right now. Anybody that knows me knows I smoke like an animal. I smoke like you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. And just this year, I just needed that clarity for my mind, for my body. You know what I mean? I just wanted to not drink, not smoke, no sugars, nothing, just straight water, yo.
Yeah.
Water is all I mess with. As you can see, I got my big Fiji water right here. This is what I roll with all the time. That's how I'm going to be for like 6 months, and it's got me doing real good right now. I suggest it to everybody. Water diet, y'all should try it. For sure. Believe you me, it will change your life. It's hard at first, but once you get into it, it's the best thing for you. Clarity is the best thing the human body can have.
Yeah, you know you're probably feeling a lot of mental clarity from that.
Yeah, the dreams are crazy though. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I don't dream when I smoke, but when I don't smoke, my dreams are mad, guy. Wow. But yeah, your brain is active, you know, like, you know, I think better, I move better, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm with it, you know? So I'll never take that away from anything, you know? You can be healthy out here. They promote a negative lifestyle in general. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to be healthy. You know, it's hard to think in that mind state. You have to put yourself there by determination and consistency. And that's something I expect everybody to take seriously. Like on that Styles P shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's an inspiration of mine because, you know, he doesn't play with it. He lets people know and he expresses it the right way. He has his own products. That's gold to me.
Yeah. You know,
that's golden. Big up Styles P for doing that. And I've been a supporter. You know, I take my CMOS, you know, my black seed oil. I'm on it. You know what I mean? Pharmacy for life stuff. So yeah, you know, being healthy is gangster. You know what I mean? Not all the polys, not all of the clout chasing. Being healthy is gangster. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to make that the title of this episode right here.
It's the truth. Jeez. It's the truth. It's the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So man. I'm just trying to push that more or less, you know, if you could see it to say it, then it's working.
No, I see it and I can see the focus. And like I said, like, you know what I mean? Pause, like your skin's clear and everything. Like, we're not like, I'm not saying that we're old, but like, we're not younger men.
No. Right?
But like, there. When we get to a certain point and people could look and be like, and they have to kind of guess how old we are. Then you're doing good.
Man. Yeah, that's it. You know what I'm saying? Just keep them guessing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's all. I don't have no time limit on here, so my age doesn't really matter. You know exactly. what I'm saying? I'm trying to go as long as I can, and you can't do that if you're not healthy.
Yeah, you know that's a fact.
You know what I mean? But I will be back smoking my ganja. I don't think that I'm done. You know what I mean? I love my weed still, but as of right now, I love my music and my business aspect of this. I want to master first before I take it anywhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what do you got coming up next? Like, as far as like projects, like.
I got a lot of things coming.
Yeah.
Lots. I just don't know the direction I'm going to push them yet. You know, I'm just enjoying doing the little releases, the little videos here and there. I'm sitting on work, lots of work. And I'm creating daily. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go home and write something tonight, probably.
Yeah.
I have a little sinus infection, so, you know, my voice doesn't sound right, but I don't let that stop me. You know, I still write, still do my thing, still craft ideas, you know, excuse my voice, you know.
Nah.
But yeah, I'm just trying to make shit happen, and I'm just staying on the level of consistency to make this pop. I want to be 2 years ahead of myself every year. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only way to really make it happen, you know? You got to have the chamber full. You know what I mean?
Facts.
And that's the way you play this game now. You know, if you don't have an arsenal of shit, if you're just trying to jump off of one song to the next, then you're going to frustrate yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not everything works. You have to have a lot of ammo to be able to test directions and so on and so forth. So that's what I'm doing. I'm building up my whole catalog and I'm just going to lick it off one by one. And then I'll do an EP. Then I'll do an album here. I'll do an album there. And then another EP, singles. I'm just going to mix it up. And I'm going to hit you when you least expect, you know, and that's what I'm known for. That's what I do. And that's what's going to happen, you know.
Looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, just trying to make it be so, you know.
The Rhyme Animal in the building.
Sirs.
Yeah, man. I'm glad that we got to chop it up here today. I feel that we got a concise story of your come up from the beginning to now. You know, any history that people wanted to get, like that they were like, yo, I wanted to know about that empire, that stars. We got it.
We got it pretty much here in the vault. But there's still a lot more, you know, a lot of stories we can't even share. Jeez. A lot of stuff that happened that, you know, it's in the vault that, you know, you had to be there to know, but you know, that's just what makes things special, you know.
You can make a whole Netflix series off of that.
Maybe just might.
Oh, hold on. I think I might got a sound effect for that right there. Yeah,
I might just do that. I might just be the captain of that ship. Don't ever doubt me. I might just do it. So, hey, you'll see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, thank you for chopping it up with me here today, brother.
Of course, brother. Musting, you know?
Before I get out of here, let me give a couple quick salutes to the sponsors once again. Big salute to Diamond Club. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Diamond Club_Canada. Big salute to Steamin' Hot Grabba. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steamin' Hot Grabba. And big thanks and salute to Candy Farms. Hit them up on their Instagram page, CandyFarms_TO.
Yeah.
I'm going to take us out here. Let me go through the catalog. Actually, what do you want to, you have any requests, sir?
Nah, man. I play whatever. I love all my songs, yo. You know, my one song that's trending crazy right now is Globetrotting. That's big right now. Tap into that. Mm. You know, that's the tune. Like if you're going on vacation with somebody special, you know, me and DJ Ritz came up with the idea. Big Salute up DJ Ritz. You know what I'm saying? To come up with the idea that, you know, if you're going to go somewhere with someone special, this is a song you play. We got Century Sam. Big up Century Sam.
Salute.
She's doing amazing work out here. So I collaborated with her and we just took the song to the next level and it just goes up every day. So keep running it up, y'all. Keep running it up, you know, and that's what it is.
All right, let's get it. Track is Globetrotter.
Globetrotting,
my bad.
Yep.
The rhyme animal in the building.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We love hip hop.
Overwork and you underpaid. From the cradle to the grave, ain't nothing changed. For a couple days, it's done. Got you stressing. Got you confessing about leaving your job profession. Yeah. They got you venting, it's a lot of tension. Sometimes the drama's just way too much for comprehension. You need a proper blessing and lots of affection. I pop the question, everything will get dropped in a second. Yeah. We'll celebrate with Don Perignon. Flying first class, all you need is your carry on. I know you've been waiting very long.
Yeah, that was good. It was easy.
We love hip-hop.